mighty, God is great, God is the Savior of mankind through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am glad that you're here this morning. Matter of fact, I'm honored that you're here this morning. Amen. Thank you, Brother Allen. Our guests here this morning, thank you for being here. What an honor it is to have the folks that are visiting with us for the very first time. What a great, great, great day that is that you're here today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand something. We are not here to be entertained. We are not here to hear my voice. We are not here to hear the singers' voices. We're not here to look at who's wearing what or who's not wearing what. That's not the reason we're here gathered here this morning. And if that's the reason that you're gathered here this morning, I ask that you pray to God and ask God to forgive you for that attitude. We are here to worship God. We are here to tell Him how wonderful He is. We are here to tell Him and praise His name because of what He has done for us. We are gathered together as a body of believers to bring honor and glory to God in a judgment-free zone. I don't judge you. You don't judge me. God Almighty is the only one that judges. And let's praise His wonderful name. And can I get everybody to say amen again this morning? Amen. Open your Bibles up to John chapter number 4 this morning. John chapter number 4. We've been studying about worship. We've been studying about what it means. We've been studying about who we should be worshiping. We've been talking about all those things. Now we want to see a worship service one-on-one. A one-on-one worship service. And there's several different things that I want to show you in this chapter. And I encourage you to take a pen and highlight. And I encourage you to write some things in your Bibles here. Because there's going to be a time that you're going to need to hear the truths of God's Word. And there's going to be a time that you're going to need to find where was that. And when you mark things in your Bible, it's wonderful that you go back to and remember what God did in your life. Let's start by praying this morning. Heavenly Father, once again, we come to You, tell You how wonderful and how magnificent You are. Thank You, God, that You've given us Your Word in the English language. God, thank You that You've given us the intelligence to read it. God, thank You that we have it sitting before us at this very moment, and may we take advantage of that. May we understand and realize that the words are not just things written on the paper, but instead they are given to us by the Holy Spirit. And I ask right now, God, that You would speak to my mind, that You would speak to my heart, that You completely control everything that I say and do this morning. May You be honored and glorified. When people leave this morning, may they say it was great to hear what God had to say. May they forget what I say, which is fine, but God, help them to remember what You have said. Save souls this morning. Encourage hearts. Convict us of our need to be right with You. May we worship You, because You are the only one worthy. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask these things. Amen. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, Jesus is traveling with His disciples. We pick it up in verse number 1. It says, "Now when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." See, the Pharisees were trying to make something of Jesus baptizing more people than John and them. Though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. So they were messing things up again. Verse number 3, it says, "He," Jesus, "left Judea, and He departed again unto Galilee." So in other words, He was going from the southern part of Israel, and He was heading north. Now usually, point A to point B is the shortest point to get there. But being a Jew, a lot of times the Jews wouldn't go through Samaria. That was the point A to point B. They would go point A to point C to point D, get to point B. They hated Samaria. They refused to go through Samaria. Matter of fact, if they went through Samaria, they considered themselves completely unclean. The Samaritans were lowlifes. The Samaritans had nothing good for a Jew. Samaritans were half Jew, half Gentile. And so when people thought of the Samaritans, they thought, ooh, they stink. Very prejudiced. And so it says that Jesus had to go from Judea to Galilee. Okay, look what it says here. "He left Judea and He departed again to Galilee." So His disciples assumed they were going to go their roundabout business. But look at verse number 4. "And He must needs go through Samaria." He must needs go through Samaria. Here I've underlined "He must needs," and I've put this word next to it. Intentional. Intentional. God wants us to be intentional about worshiping Him, but also God is intentional about what He does. God is not just a happenstance God. He doesn't just sit up in heaven and say, oops, oh my goodness, look at that. Man, I didn't mean for that to happen. Wow, I was playing with some clay and it fell off the table and look what it made. My goodness, Brian Shule, look at you're just a lump that fell off the table. Some of you might say, amen to that, brother. But God's very intentional in what He does. There's nothing that accidentally happens with God. And here it is, Jesus, He intentionally is going through Samaria. Why did He intentionally go through Samaria? We're going to find out in just a second. But here's the thing. Jesus loves everybody. He doesn't just love Jews. He doesn't just love Gentiles. He doesn't just love people who are half Gentile, half Jewish. He loves everybody. Jesus died on that cross for every sin ever committed in the world. Jesus died for the sins of the world. That means your sin. That means my sin. That means what's going to happen in the future. That means what's going to happen in the past. Jesus died for the sins of the world. So why in the world do we want to pay for our own sins? Why in the world do we want to take judgment from God upon ourselves? Jesus is the one who takes the judgment on Himself. It's ridiculous to think that we want God to judge us. How many of you want God to judge you according to what you deserve? Anybody in here want God to say, okay, here you go, this is what you deserve? Absolutely not. I'm glad nobody raised their hand. Just ruined my illustration if you raised your hand. How many of you want somebody else to take the judgment for you? Some of you are sitting there. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, let me ask you again. How many of you want somebody else to take your judgment that you deserve? Amen. That's what Jesus did. And it says He intentionally went through Samaria because He had a divine appointment. Verse number 5. Then cometh He to a city in Samaria, and the name of the city was Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Now this well was named after Jacob because it was dug by Jacob. It's a place in the earth. Now we think of a big pumping system. No, it's a hole in the ground with a wall around it and the old bucket system. How many of you remember using an old bucket system to draw water out of the well? Anybody like that? Y'all are older than dirt. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. You are old and well stricken if you remember doing that. I remember doing it. I'm not that old. Amen. But they drew the water up by hand. They didn't have an electrical system. They had to sit there and pump the water as it came up. Okay? So Jacob's well, he's headed there. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, verse number 6, being wearied with His journey. Underline that right there. Being wearied with His journey. Jesus was tired. Now say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was God. Yes, Jesus was God and is God 100%, but He was also in human form. God in the flesh. He had the limitations of the human body. He was tired. Now you say, what's the importance of that? Brothers and sisters, we have a Savior, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, that knows our infirmities. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows the tragedies. He knows the sorrows. He knows the happiness. Jesus knows all about it. And if you're sitting there thinking that God doesn't know what I'm going through, God doesn't care about me, may I tell you, God knows. And He cares. He knows you're uprising. He knows you're down sitting. He knows your disappointment. He knows the fight that you got with your spouse before you got to church this morning. He knows your kid and the way they smell because they didn't take a bath for 3 days. He knows all about those things. He knows. And the great thing is, He cares. There's a lot of people who know things, but it's very rare to find somebody who cares about what he knows. Look at me for a minute, people. God knows. He knows what you're dealing with. And the great thing is, He cares. He cares about you. And it says that He was wearied. He knows what it's like to be weary. He knows what it's like to be sorrowful. At this time in his life, scholars believe that his earthly father had died by now. So he had his mother, and his mother was a widow. So he knows what it's like to have a parent die. He knows what it's like to have cousins and brothers and sisters. He knows what all those things. He knows what it's like. He knows what makes you tick. And he has the great thing about it. He still loves you in spite of you. Praise God for that. And he says that he sat thus, verse number 6, he sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's a good way of saying it was noontime. And it was hot. They had been walking from down through the desert on the desert roads. There was no transit system. There was no bus. There was no Uber. There was none of that. They had to walk everywhere they went. And when they went into this city, he was tired and he was thirsty. But look at me for a minute. He also knew that he had to be there. May I help you understand something this morning? There's no place God can't be because He's already there. He's sitting right next to you this morning. He's here. His presence is here. And He knows all about what's going on. You're not here by accident this morning. You didn't just decide to get up and come here. No, you are here for a reason this morning. Verse number 7. Why was He there? Here's why. Verse 7. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Underline that where He says, give me to drink. God engages us in worship. See, He's already engaged you this morning. He's already spoken to you if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. He's already said, worship me. He's already spoken to your heart during prayer. He's already spoken to your heart during the music. He's already spoken to your heart during the handshaking. If He hasn't spoken to you, there's one of two things. Either He ain't inside of you, or you're deader than a doornail. Well, how dare you judge me? Brothers and sisters, either you're in control or God's in control. God engages us. He speaks to our heart. He tells us, I want you to praise me. He tells us, I want you to worship me. He tells me, I want you to give me your best, because He gave us His best. So it says that Jesus spoke to her first. Now, what in the world is a woman doing coming in the middle of the day to draw water, which is a very laborious deed? What in the world? Why is she coming to a well at noon in the burning up sun to bring the water up out of that well? Where's everybody else? There's nobody else around. Why? Because God had a divine appointment with her. You know what? I said just a few minutes ago, and I don't know if you caught it or not, but I want to be very clear on this. God has a divine appointment right now with you right here. You say, how dare you? Brothers and sisters, God's here. And He knows what you need. Some of you need to get right with God this morning. Some of you need to repent of the wicked, nasty lifestyle you're living. Some of you need to turn away from your sin and turn back to a holy God. Some of you need some comfort because you're going through it. You've been fighting H-E double toothpicks by the bushels this week. See, I didn't say the word because some of you go, oh, Brother Brian cursed. Some of you need comfort because you're dealing with an issue with your children or with your parents or with your spouse or with somebody. May I tell you that God knows. But the choice is, do you care? So He says, give me to drink. He engages her in the worship. Verse number 8, we say, where's the disciples? His disciples left to go get some meat. So they came into the city and they said, hey, Jesus, you sit by here by the well. We're going to go get something to eat. Jesus said, good, because I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to this woman. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that you, thou, being a Jew, you're asking to drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I can just say, what do you mean you're talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. Don't you recognize that? How in the world are you talking to me? You talking to me? Now, she was ashamed, too, because, number one, she knew what her life was like. That's why she came at noon. Number two, she was a Samaritan. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. And she cannot believe that a man was talking to her, and she couldn't believe that a Jewish man was talking to her. Brothers and sisters, I love that word, that phraseology in the song we sang this morning. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord one day. We are unworthy. I love Isaiah when he says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I am unworthy. I deserve to be in hell. I deserve to be on my hands and knees with fire heaped upon my head because of my sins. I am unworthy. But I praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ makes me worthy. Amen. So this woman looks at him and says, how dare you talk to me? I'm a Samaritan and I'm a woman. What are you doing talking to me? Verse number 10. If Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. You know what? Worship here in verse number 9 or verse number 10. Worship answers our questions. When we worship, we get answers to our questions. When we say, God Almighty, you're the only one worthy of worship. Oh, God Almighty, you're the only one that can take care of this. Oh, God, please, I need you. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit starts giving us answers to questions. I can recall time after time after time, and I look forward to the future time after time after time when I'm needing wisdom and I'm needing guidance and I'm needing directions and I'm confused and I don't know what to do. It's amazing when I stop and just acknowledge that He is God and tell them that He is worthy. It's amazing that the Holy Spirit begins to speak to my heart and He gives me wisdom. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you worship God, not just in this room, matter of fact, let me tell you, and I may not be a good Baptist this morning when I say this, but you can worship God on the golf course. You can worship God on the lake. You can worship God when you're camping. You can worship God at home. You can, but let me do me a favor, laying in the bed and rolling around saying, oh God, that's not worship. You can worship God everywhere, and we're supposed to worship God everywhere. So you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, why in the world do you want us to come together on a Sunday morning? Number one, the Bible says to do it, but number two, more importantly, there's something about worshiping God with fellow believers. There's something about gathering together and singing praises and shaking hands and swapping spit, well, not spit, but swapping all kinds of things together and worshiping God together, laughing together and crying together. Because guess what? We're all going through life. We might as well do it together. Amen? That's the important part of worshiping. This is the only time during the week I get to see some of you. You say, good thing. Whew. And you say, I've been coming to church here for 25 years, but I don't know so-and-so. A lot of times that reason is because the only time you come to church is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Just saying. But look what it says at the very end of chapter number, verse number 10. It says that He would give you living water. You know what? Worship also restores us from sickness. Worship also can restore us from sickness. It can. And the most important sickness that we need to be restored from is spiritual sickness. Have you taken your spiritual temperature this morning? Are you running a low-grade fever? Maybe you're just a little bit on fire for God, but not very much, and you don't want people to know about it. You don't want to raise your hand. You don't want to say amen. You're just kind of running a low-grade fever. or are you hot? 115 degrees. You say, good night, Brother Brian, that means dead. No, that means alive. I want that kind of spiritual sickness. I want to be alive for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want my life to shine for Him. I want my ears to turn red. I want my face to turn red. I want my body to show that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Some are down below freezing. Not judging. I'm just stating facts. How dare you? Well, here's the thing. As your pastor, how dare I not tell you the truth? So you see here that worship restores us from sickness. Verse number 11, it says, the woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. She still hasn't got it. And the well is deep. How are you going to get this living water? She still doesn't understand it. Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and you drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus is like, come on. Obviously, you don't know who you're worshiping. Obviously, you don't know anything about the truth, because if you did, you'd know who I was. Verse 13. Whosoever drinketh of this water, he said, shall thirst again. He's pointing to the well. You could get this water up, and guess what? You're going to be thirsty again here in a little bit. But he says, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of life, of water, springing up into everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus gives us everlasting life. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life temporarily. How long is everlasting? The church service from 11 to 12, it's everlasting. Everlasting, it goes on and on. Brothers and sisters, I don't want temporary life. I don't even want 100 years. I don't want 1,000 years. I want to live forever. But not in this body. I'm old and well stricken. I love that. I'm going to use that phrase a lot now. I love that thing. We found it in Sunday school again this morning. And by the way, if you don't go to Sunday school, I want you to come to Sunday school. You hear all kinds of neat phrases like that. Old and well stricken. Guess what? I got a brand new body waiting for me that I get to live in forever. Woo! Praise the Lord. And Jesus looked at her and said, listen, I have water that will quench your spiritual thirst so that you have everlasting life. If that ain't worthy of worship, I don't know what is worthy of worship. It finally begins to dawn on her. Look what she says in verse number 15. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You know what? Worship often happens when we start asking for it. Have you asked God to help you worship this morning? Have you asked God to speak to your heart and say, oh God, I want to worship you. I simply just want to tell you thank you and that I adore you. Here's the great thing, brothers and sisters. There's no one way to worship. Some of you are quiet and you sit on your hands and you don't move during the service. And if you're worshiping, praise the Lord. That's what I want you to do. Some of you like to raise your hands. Raise your hands. Worship God this morning. Amen. If you want to say amen, you want to say oh me, whatever you want to do. But you worship God, not me. If I make you mad, I'm a human being. Don't worship me. Because I'm going to make you mad some way, somehow. Not on purpose. I don't intentionally stand up and say, oh, I can't wait to get to Danny Childers. I'm going to make him mad this morning. Wake up, Danny. No, I don't intend to make you mad, but guess what? Worship God because He is God. He's worthy of your worship. And then look what it says. She asks him, hey, I want this water. Here's the next thing about worship we learn. Worship reveals truth. When we really worship God, and we really ask Him, oh God, speak to my heart. Oh God, I want to know more about You. The Holy Spirit begins to worship truth, because look what happens here. Verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go, call your husband, and then come back. Now how in the world does He know about her husband? Is it just accidental that He happened to show up at the well at that time? Is it judgmental? Is He going, you, go call your husband, and then you come back? I don't believe that's His tone of voice. That's why I don't like having conversations via text. You try to have a serious conversation with somebody on the text, you never can tell what they're thinking. You can't tell tone of voice. I like having conversations face to face. I think this is His tone of voice. Listen, go get your husband, bring him back, and let's talk about this. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And he who you are now living with, that's not even your husband. And you said truly when you said this. Now was he being just? Absolutely not. When you start to worship, the truth will be revealed to you, because God will reveal it to you. And I think that's the reason we don't worship like He wants, because we're so afraid of what He's going to tell us. We're so afraid to show up on a Sunday morning. We're so afraid to hear the music. We're so afraid to hear the Word of God spoken, because we're afraid that God's going to tell us that we're not doing what we ought to be doing. We could be on the golf course. We say, Brother Brian, I can worship on the golf course. Yes, you can. You can hit that first ball and you can say, oh, Lord Almighty. And that's the only worship you do all day long. Isn't God worthy of more worship than that? You could be sitting on the campground with your family, roasting s'mores and worshiping God. Yes, you can. But how long would that worship last? Until the first one dumps the marshmallow in the embers and they go everywhere and people are screaming. There goes the worship service. There's something about gathering together. And when we worship God, really worship God, He starts to reveal truth to us. And we don't like truth, because truth tells us who we really are. We look through a glass darkly, and we prefer to do that. We don't want to see a mirror, because when we look at that mirror, see, I think that I'm 20 years old again. In my mind, I've got the body of a 20-year-old. And I can do this and I can do that. And every time I get ready to do something, my wife looks at me and says, Brian, don't do it. My mind tells me I'm so old, but my body says, boop, get your insurance card out. Because the truth hurts sometimes. But you know what? You know what? God reveals the truth for us? Because He loves and cares about us, and He wants us to know the truth so we deal with it. When we go to the doctor, we want the doctor to tell us the truth. We don't want the doctor to sugarcoat us. We don't want the doctor to make things seem what they're not. You go to the doctor and you pay your $500 copay or whatever you got to pay. And you don't want the doctor to say, well, you know what, you've got a little bit of lump in your hand, but that's not that big of a deal. It'll go away. When actually it's a malignant tumor that's going to kill you the next day. You want the doctor to say, hey, you got a malignant tumor. How many of you agree you want the doctor to tell you the truth? Don't you want God to tell you the truth? Well, in that case, I got to stop. Ooh. I want God to tell me the truth so that I can do something about it. I can tell you this, Jesus would be a lot more kind in telling you the truth than a doctor would. No offense, Dr. B. Anyway. Verse 19. Then the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Duh. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She points up to the mountain right there next to the city. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's trying to divert the conversation. Jesus has revealed truth to her. And he's told her what's going on. And it's amazing. She does just like us. We divert. We change the subject so we don't have to talk about it no more. Wives, how many of you have a husband that does that in the conversations? Oh, come on! Husbands, how many of you are guilty of that? You bunch of wimps! We divert. When the conversation's going the wrong way or the conversation's going, something's happening that we don't like, we think of something else. Oh, honey, your hair looks so nice today. Why don't you take the garbage out? You know what? Are those new shoes you got on? Oh, come on. That's what she's doing. The old classic diverting. We do that with God all the time. The Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and starts telling us and saying, hey, this and hey, that. Then we start thinking, you know what? I'd like to go out on the lake today. I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch today. And you guys, some of you have looked at your watch so many times, your arm ought to be tired by now. I know what time it is. I got a clock back there. Brothers and sisters, when the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, don't look for diversions. Just let Him speak so you can get right with Him. Woman, believest me. Worship requires faith. Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. He says, worship the Father. He says there's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to go to that mountain and worship God because God won't be there. There's going to be a time that you're going to go to Jerusalem and the temple, and guess what? That's not where God's going to be. He said, there's coming a time where God's going to come down. He's going to fill you completely. And He's going to be inside of you. Brothers and sisters, is God here? Yes, He's here. Is God outside? Yes, He's outside. Because any place you are, He's there if God Almighty is your Savior. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one, all God. And wherever you are, if the Holy Spirit's living there, you are there with God. She thought you had to go to a place. He says, no, God is with you. And then He looks at her and He says, I am here. Because look what it says in verse 23. The hour's coming, and it now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Lord, the Father, seeks such to worship Him. God wants us to worship. He's walking up and down these aisles right now, and He's saying, worship me. That's what He's saying. He's saying, listen. This is not just simply a little meeting for an hour and you're sitting there doodling and not paying any attention. He says, worship me. Love me because I love you. That's what worship means. He knows what you're messed up in. He knows what your life is going like. And He still whispers to your heart, I love you. He still whispers to your heart saying, come back to me. He still whispers to your heart, listen, I've got this. The Lord reigns. Listen, we're all messed up, folks. This is a hospital. This is not a museum. If you've come expecting to see a drama, you've come to the wrong place. I'm a horrible actor. But if you've come here to get healing, the great physician is here to give you healing. And He says, my child, I love you. I can deal with the problem if you'll simply let me do it. Worship Him this morning. Because that's what He wants. Now look at me. We're done. But look at me just for a minute. Will you be honest with yourself and with God today? Will you just finally admit, God, I can't do it. I desperately need Your healing. I desperately need You to work. I desperately need forgiveness. Oh God, please, You're the only one that can do it. Will You just do that this morning? Brother Brian, I'm afraid to do that because that mean that I've got to stop doing what I've been doing. That may mean that I got to get rid of some relationships. That may mean that I got to admit that I was I wasn't right. Some of you have a hard time saying W-R-O-N-G. Let me help you. English lesson. Wrong. All right? Let's all say it together this morning, class. I am wrong. You say, yes, you are, Brother Brian. God knows it already. God, I'm sorry I messed up. God, I need You as my Savior. Whatever the need is this morning, that's part of worship. I am wrong. God, I am wrong. Please fix me. Please fix me. And God will say, give me 200 push-ups. I want You to pay $1 million, and then we'll talk about it. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that word confession means? Agreeing that we're wrong. You ever look at your child and know they did wrong? And you can prove it 15 ways to yesterday. And they'll look at you and say, no, I didn't do that. And you know it. You got proof. How many ever had that happen? You know what? That's what some of you are doing to God right now. Listen, this, and you say, no, I didn't. Mm-mm. See, parents, you thought I was getting you, didn't I? We're wrong. But I got a physician in heaven, a spiritual physician who'll fix me. He is worthy of worship. And the wonderful thing you see when you read the rest of the story is that when she finally gets it and she finally sees the grace of God and she finally understands that she's been worshiping God this whole time, that she leaves and she goes back to town and she says, guess what? I met God. Guess what? He didn't judge me. Guess what? He didn't kill me. Guess what? I worshiped Him, and I want you to come meet Him too. When you worship, it changes you. Yeah. Well, Brother Brian, it's your responsibility. No, it ain't. I know that's not good English. Let me use proper English. No, it isn't. It's your responsibility to worship, not mine. I worship. You worship. You do what God tells you to do. I'll do what God tells me to do. And it ought to change me. It ought to change you. And unless you're different, you didn't worship God. You worshiped yourself. I want to worship God. I want to be different than I walked in here. Through whatever means He uses. Music, offering, fellowship, preaching, reading the Word. I love that small, still voice. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and let me in, I will come in and I will dine with you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I will sup with you, He says. He's knocking. Are you going to open up? Are you going to open up this morning? Let's all stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Invitation time is open now. Brother Danny is going to begin and sing in just a moment. I'm going to go backstairs and or back door. I'm going to go behind us. And I'm going to get changed, get ready to baptize. We get to baptize Aiden Curtis this morning. But brothers and sisters, the worship time is not done. This is probably one of the most important times of worship now, is when you finally respond to what God's telling you to do, physically or where you're sitting. It may mean you coming forward. It may mean you sit in your pew. But whatever it is, do it. You ought to be different. Because God is working in your life. God doesn't want perfection. He just wants obedience. Look at me and then we're going to pray. Look at me for a minute. How many of you are imperfect this morning and messed up? How many of you serve a perfect God? Talk to Him. Talk to Him. He knows. He knows. And He loves you. He doesn't hate you. Go to Him this morning. Heavenly Father, You know our hearts. You know our needs. You know everything about us, God. And we desperately need You. God, I want to worship You as we continue. I want to worship You, Father, every moment of my life. Forgive me, Father, for my sin against You. God, make me the man of God You'd have me to be. Make these brothers and sisters the people You want them to be. Heal the marriages. Heal the relationships between fathers and sons and daughters and mothers. Lord, fix the problems in our lives. God, we worship You and tell You how wonderful You are. Save souls. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Whatever they need is salvation. You need salvation. You need Jesus Christ to save you. Tanner will be right down here to show you the Bible how to be saved. You need to get right with your spouse, your family. Come on down. Worship God this morning. Do what God's telling you to do as Brother Danny begins to sing.